In the Gospel of Mark today, we hear the widow gives her last two coins to the temple. And there's at least a couple of different ways in which we can interpret that. At least interpret the ways in which Jesus interprets that act to the disciples. For one, does Jesus point to this as a model of giving to the church? Or does he point to it as a terrible example of how institutions can suck the life out of people and take all that they have? Let's look at this last one first. It is true that the widow gives all that she has to an institution, but she does so to one that will shortly be destroyed. In the very next passage, Jesus says of the temple, "Not one stone will be left upon another." The temple then would take the widow's houses, this was their common theme, would take widow's houses because once their husband died, their legal rights were very few, if any, and if they couldn't hold on to their house by legal means, the temple took it and sold it and took their money, which was usually the case. But its leaders, the leaders of the temple at the time, lived in privilege, while the poor, the vulnerable, and the widows of the world were condemned to begging in the streets. The system was turned upside down. The system was perverted, and this is what Jesus is talking about. Jesus, in this instance, is therefore saying that the days are numbered for these kinds of institutions. They will be destroyed, and the oppressed will be liberated and held up. But what if Jesus meant the other interpretation? What if Jesus meant the widow was a model for how we should follow? Jesus tells his disciple to notice that the widow literally gives everything that she has. It's two pennies, but she gives everything that she has. So something, giving it into an institution that again will be condemned and destroyed, but she gives everything that she has for the hope of it. And it's interesting to note where this particular scene takes place in Mark. It's the last public ministry that Jesus has before he goes to Jerusalem, which is saying it's the last public teaching Jesus gives before he heads to the story of the Passion. So what might this mean in this sense? What might this mean in this placement? The widow is foreshadowing what Jesus will do. The widow in this story is foreshadowing his unstoppable journey to give his whole life for something that is corrupted, for something that he sees as condemned, that being the evil of the world, the evil in humanity. And by doing this, what Jesus is saying, what should the church be doing? What is the church's mission? What is the church's two coins that we should be giving? And Jesus is saying that the church should be an institution that heals and reconciles and builds up. Jesus is saying the church should always remember and minister to the powerless, to the poor, to the sick, to the lonely, and to the marginalized. Jesus is saying we should always take part in any movement that is to free people from injustice, inequality, fear, oppression, hunger, and suffering. Jesus says the church should be a part of a founding of a just and loving and peaceable world. And when he refers to this as the widow and refers to this as his own story, his own passion story going to Jerusalem, Jesus says the church is called to do all this, even at the risk of losing its own life. And that brings me to Remembrance Day. I remember every time that I see the crosses on the stones on so many fields around the world, carrying Canadians who have fallen and others, that the symbol of the cross is there, or the symbol of David, or the symbol, the sickle of Islam, or other symbols. They're there on the cross too, because these people gave up their lives for freedom, for a just world, to end oppression, to have a world that has no more fear. But they did it through that symbol. 100 years ago today, the armistice to end the war of all wars was signed, and World War I came to an end. In the course of its short history, over 117,000 Canadians have died in wars or combats or peacekeeping missions. That is a large number for a country with a small population. And they risked their lives and lost it for the same reason that Jesus gave its mission to the church, for the same reason that the widow gave her last two coins to the temple. They were a part of a movement to free people from injustice, inequality, fear, oppression, hunger, and suffering. Those who were fallen and were wounded in body, mind, and spirit, they wanted the world to heal itself, to reconcile itself, to build people up. Those who fallen or were injured in body, mind, or spirit, they wanted to be a founding of a just, loving, and peaceable world. They were called to do this and answered that call, even at the risk of losing their own life. I remember my grandfather, who, as I mentioned before, was an officer in the Navy. And he was saying at the beginning of the war, particularly in the Navy, they were so short-staffed, they would take anybody who would sign up. He said jokingly, as long as their head was screwed on the right way, we would take them, including people who were fudging about their age. They took them as it was the first don't ask, don't tell kind of thing, as young as 16. 15 years old sometimes. Babes, really. They gave everything they had for a cost that they felt worthy for, the freedom of Canada and of Canadians. They also did something very important that we share here in this space today. They gave us the opportunity and the freedom to worship as we choose to worship. And for that, we are eternally thankful. Let us pray. God of love and liberty, we bring our thanks today for peace and security that we enjoy. Lord God, help us this day to remember the sacrifice of those caught up in war, and the generations of men, women, and children who have died in the cause of liberty and peace. We pray for their families and for ourselves whose freedom was won at such a cost. Help us to remember those who still bear the physical and mental scars and disabilities of their service. Help us to remember the widows, girlfriends, parents, and orphans, and all those who have waited in vain for the return of a loved one. Make us a people zealous for peace, and hasten that day when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, that we may learn the way of peace. We pray this in the name of one who gave his life for the sake of the world, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.